Schools were supposed to open on the 27th of January. They are now opening on the 15th of February, and the reason is COVID-related. It is to protect the lives and the health of children and of teachers. This is what we've been told by the education and by the health authorities. Professor Harun Saluji is an executive member of the South African Pediatric Association. Prof, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
You don't believe that the health and safety interests of teachers and children are best served by keeping schools closed?
That's correct, John. I think the decision to postpone school opening is misguided. And I think it mainly comes down to three factors. What's changed since school closed last year? And the three things that have changed are the three reasons people believe that schools shouldn't be open. One is that we've got a different variant, a much more dangerous variant, and the resultant wave. The other misconception is that children are now, with this new variant, much more likely to be transmitting the virus. And thirdly, there's a misguiding that the teachers are at a much higher risk than other professions by going to schools.
And I must confess that if you'd put those three propositions to me, I would have said, yes, keep the children and the teachers away from school.
Yeah, so I'm afraid one of them is correct and the other two are incorrect.
Okay.
So we certainly are going through a different wave, and we've looked at the numbers. And what the numbers tell us is that compared to mid-November when the strain appeared, our figures last week suggest that in adults the transmission is now five times higher. Five times more people are being admitted, and even the number of new cases has increased by five times. However, in children, it's only increased in South Africa by about two times. So yes, we do have a much more dangerous variant, but it doesn't seem to be affecting children in the same way as adults. And so that is not different from previous variant. When we had the first wave, it was also similar, that children were not affected as much as adults. So that's one good reason to send children to school. They're less likely to have COVID, they're less likely to transmit COVID, and finally, they're less likely to get ill. The other argument has been that teachers are vulnerable. There's a teachers union saying that it's going to be a massacre if you send teachers to schools. Now, we don't have a lot of data on the new variant, but certainly we have lots of data on the old variant, and there's no evidence that teachers die more or acquire more illness than other professions or other members of the community. And basically why that's the case is that most teachers don't get their infections at schools. They get them in the community, doing the things that one does in the community. So overall, schools are not a major nidus of infection. That's not where most transmission occurs. And so that's our reason. Yeah. We believe that even though in the current wave, we should have got children back to school on the date that was set, which was the 27th of January.
But isn't it the case that there's greater interaction between children and between children and teachers and between children and teachers and support staff and so on when they are at school than when they are at home?
That's correct. So again, two key points here, John. One, we've looked at all the data last year in terms of the number of cases when schools were closed, when schools opened, and then when schools closed again. And it's very clear that we didn't see any peaks related to schools opening. So there's very little evidence that a lot of transmission happens at schools. In high-risk situations like currently, there will be transmission. We're not saying there won't, but it's not the main place where either children or teachers get the infection. I think that's a critical. And then the more important, the reason we're really insisting on this, it's a risk-benefit issue. And clearly there's a risk to children going to school. They might pick up infection, they might infect teachers, and teachers might infect them. But that risk we consider quite minimal compared to the risk of children not going to school. And I think you've heard many reasons for that. I'm sure it's been well discussed in terms of the educational losses, the losing school feeding programs. The mental health of children has suffered enormously in COVID. And then there's also issues of abuse and things which are happening at home, which often gets picked up at school. So it's a risk-benefit, and we don't believe the risk outweighs the benefit.
So, Harun, the evidence is clear that if you look back at 2020 at the times when children and teachers were not at school and when children and teachers were at school, the infection data suggests that it's actually safe to be at school.
Yeah, that's the South African data, but in fact, global data, there's American data. So 67% of American schools returned. And if you look at American data, it's a safe trend. Schools that were open had no higher incidences. In fact, some people now argue it might be even be protective, exactly for the reason that at schools, you have a controlled environment. If children are left at home, particularly in poor conditions, they often are not at home. They're walking the streets, they're going to malls, and they may even be at more risk. But that evidence, we don't have strong evidence for. But the alternative that schools don't increase at risk, I think, is fairly good evidence.
It was interesting that the research was done by University of Johannesburg, I think, saying that only 53% of people wanted their children to go back to school. And the greatest caution, the greatest resistance to children going back to school was in poorer communities. And I'm trying to understand why that would be.
Yeah, so I suspect there might be two reasons for that. The first reason is that parents in poor communities obviously are frightened about the possibility of their children going to school because the kind of mitigating measures, all the safety measures, the masks, the washing may not be there. So that may be one reason. But I think the other reason might be that poorer communities may not be quite aware of this argument that I've just presented to you, that in fact children may be safer at schools or at least not in great danger at schools.
You can't speak for government. Government has taken this decision. The decision is at odds with the scientific evidence, and you disagree with it, as does, I believe, the association of which you're an executive member. But perhaps you can venture an explanation as to why government was adamant that schools should close. They obviously don't believe, surely they've had access to the science that you've been quoting.
Yeah, so I'm afraid it's an issue of where power reigns. And unfortunately, in this situation, the education department previously have been quite keen to open schools. The issue really is teacher unions. Teacher unions have been adamant. They were adamant last year when we tried to open schools, and they as adamant now that they're not allowing, they don't want their members to go back to school on this argument that the lives of teachers are at risk. And this is not only South African trade unions. It's something that happens in many, many countries elsewhere. But as I pointed out earlier, it's not a true argument. This issue that teachers are at risk is not held out. So I'm afraid it's the issue of trade unions, particularly teacher unions, holding forth and almost holding government to ransom.
Professor Harun Salaji, thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon. Executive member of the South African Pediatric Association.